chapter number 3. I wanted to try to teach through the book of Romans tonight, but God's redirected my spirit. I want to share just maybe 3 simple little thoughts that I've seen since I've preached this message here at the church, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Hope you'll be patient with me tonight. I don't even really have an outline with me. I just want to give a thought that the Lord has put in my heart. It's found in Exodus chapter number 3. In Exodus chapter number 3. Sure am glad the Lord still meets with His people even on a Wednesday night. I'm glad we've got a God that's very much involved in the affairs of His children. The Bible said, "Now Moses, he kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert." Now, I guess if you looked at them, you wouldn't think that the leadership was too good for that he led the people. He didn't lead the people to stardom. We've got a lot of men trying to lead people into stardom. But let me tell you, God's not interested in His children going into town so much. But He loves them to be on the backside so they can meet up with Him. And so what a shepherd to lead his people to where God would say something. The Bible said, "And the flock came to the backside of the desert," verse 2, "and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame." Now that helps me to know when nobody else knows where you are, God knows where you are. I mean, they didn't even have a GPS in that day, friend, but there was a God in heaven that knew where His people was. And you know, you may not even know where you are tonight. You may be on the backside of the desert, but I want to remind you, there's a God that knows exactly where you are this evening. And the Bible said that He appeared unto him in a flame of fire, out of the midst of a bush. I'm glad that God is in the midst of things. He's in the midst, you find in the Bible, in the midst of the sanctuary, walking. I sure am glad that He's walked in here tonight. We find Him in the midst of a bush, and He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. But that's not what really got His attention. What got His attention was the bush was not consumed. Now, it reminds me the reason that we burn out, because we don't get consumed with fire. If God would fill us with fire, we'd burn a lot longer than what we usually burn. And so Moses said, "I'll now turn aside to see this great sight." I wonder what it's going to take for God to get some folks' attention. And so he said, the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. And God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And this is what he said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, what a statement. "Here am I." You may be seated tonight. "Here am I." Now, Moses found himself, no doubt, in a lonely place. Moses found himself, no doubt, in a difficult place. I want to remind you, if you'll read your Bible, all through the test of time, God has always allowed His children to have some difficult time. If we didn't have difficult times, we'd never know that we had a God that could minister in difficult times. I said something Sunday night.
We talk about our faith being tested, but I'm glad I've got a God that's been tested. I'm glad I'm not wondering, is my God going to be able? My God has proved Himself to me many days and many times that difficulties don't upset our God. A God that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And certainly our God all through this Bible has been tested. And He's come through right at the nick of time. So that lets me know we've got a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that can be trusted. Oh, I'm glad I can trust Him tonight. There's a lot of things in this world that you cannot trust. But you can trust the Lord. And so, you'll notice that He called unto Him out of a burning bush. Liberty Baptist Church, I wish the Lord, and I'm not praying bad things on us because I am part of this assembly, but I wish God would light a fire in us. Let this bush burn bright in this community that others may hear the voice of God out of this bush. If there's ever been a day in an hour when Liberty Baptist Church needs to be set on fire by the presence of God, it is tonight. We got children, we got grandchildren dying and going to hell. We got a community dying and going to hell. We live in a world that's turned liberal and nothing's wrong anymore. But let's pray that God would start a fire in Liberty Baptist Church that others may hear His voice. Now He called unto Moses. And then He said something in verse 5. He simply said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. That reminds me that where God is and where God meets and where God speaks, it's holy ground. It's a separated place where God can call His children by name. Aren't you glad that you got a God that knows you by name and not just by a number? The federal government knows me by a number. Not so much as by name. But aren't you glad that there's a God that's not interested in our number, but He's interested in our name. I'm glad I've got a God that knows me personally tonight and knows me as an individual. And His eyes are ever on His children. Wherever you go, there's a God in heaven that loves us and knows exactly where we are tonight. Now, He called unto him out of the bush. Aren't you glad you can go to church where God can talk to you out of a bush that's set on fire? Now, He said this, take off your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. We shared with you this thought. There we see a triune God. He is the God of Abraham. We see there is God the Father. And then there is Isaac. We see him as God the Son, the Lord Jesus. And then we see him as the God of Jacob. I don't know if you've ever studied about Jacob or much, but he was a lot like me and you. He was a swindler and a conniver, and he wouldn't keep his word. I wonder if there'd been anybody on a Wednesday night would tell God they'd never do something, but they found themselves doing it again. You say, preacher, how could a God love somebody like Jacob? Oh, friend, that's a type of the Holy Holy Ghost. He said, I'd never leave you. No, I'd never forsake you. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that lives in His children. Just like the God of Jacob. He loves us in the bad time. He loves us in the good time. He's a God that loves His children tonight. How could He love somebody like Jacob? I've got a better question than that. How could He love somebody like me or like you? What a God that would say He's the God of Jacob. Oh, I'm glad He's my God. And then He says this. Moses hid his face, for he is afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people that's in Egypt. Watch this. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I'm come down. Isn't that amazing? We couldn't get to where He was, but He come to where we were. I'm come down. What a God that would humble Himself, take upon Him the form of a servant, go to an old rugged cross, and die for the people that He loved. He came down. He didn't come down to fool around. He come down to deliver. And I'll remind you, He can still deliver you tonight. I don't care what kind of sin you're in. There's a God that can deliver you. There's a God that loves you. There's a God that's coming back one of these days. And you're going to meet Him. And you better know about His Son if you're going to heaven to live with this crowd tonight. He came to deliver out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land. Look, this is God's desire for us unto a good land and a large land, a land that's flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me. Stop right there just a minute. It does pay to pray to a God that pays attention to the cry of His people. The people cried to Him, and He heard the cry of the people. Aren't you glad we got a God we can pray to tonight? He said, not only have I heard, but I've seen the oppression that the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I'll send you unto Pharaoh, to your stepdaddy. Ain't that amazing? Pharaoh had raised him. Pharaoh's daughter found him in the brook in the little basket. Took him home and was raised in a cathedral. But Moses said, this ain't what it's made up to be. I'm going to walk out on these treasures of Egypt. I'm going to live with the people of God. For I'd rather be with God than anybody I've ever been with. This is what he does. He said that I may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, underline it, who am I that I should go unto... Boy, I tell you who God will use. Them folks that don't think a whole lot of themselves. Y'all know, there's a man told me something last night at supper. I'm going to get the point. I want to show you and I'm going to be done. I'm just running rabbits right now. But you remember Eutychus fell out of that third loft window by Paul's long preaching? Said he fell out of the third loft. That's way up. Man said at supper last night, he said, hey, preacher, you know one reason that boy fell out? I said, why? He said, because he got too elevated with himself. Boy, we better stay humble and say, God, I don't know about y'all. Sometimes I don't know who I am. I don't even want to know who I am. That's how low I feel most of my life. God's looking for people that ain't got it all figured out. And if you've got it all figured out tonight, you headed to a dead end road. I'm going to tell you, when you know you're right with God and serving God, you don't know what's going on in your life. Who am I that you should call me? And then this is what God said. He said, well, I want to tell you something. He said, I will be with you in verse 12. This shall be a token unto thee, and I've sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. He said, it's no accident that you've led them people around to where I led you to be. He said, I've led them exactly to where I want them to serve me. And then this is what he said. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now here's my thought tonight, and I'm done. You'll notice in verse 5, he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now I got to thinking about something when Moses pulled his shoes off. It sort of dawned on me, and I got to pondering and asking God. I said, God, tell me why that he took his shoes off. Why did you request him to take his shoes off? This is what the Lord give me and help me, and it might not help nobody, but he gave me three thoughts on why he took them shoes off. Number one, he took them shoes off about respect. You know, when Moses pulled his shoes off, he sort of said, calf rope. Wouldn't that be a blessing if you'd quit trying to do everything and just holler calf rope and say, God, I respect you with everything I've got, and I bless you and praise you and I worship you. I'm going to tell you, our church better get back to worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's coming a day, honey, when God's coming back. We better get in tune to worshiping Him. We better, when we go to heaven, be in tune in the worship hour. Showed respect. God, I respect you. Let me tell you something. You're not going to tell God nothing. God's on a throne. He's high and He's holy. Then I had this second thought. I said, Lord, if that shows respect, what else does it show? He said, do you remember when you was a little boy, how you could get barefooted and run out the gravel road and meet your daddy, and it didn't bother you? But said, you run on out there barefooted right now, and you'll find out something about them shoes that you have reliance. Let me tell you something. It all depends upon God doing it for us. We can do nothing by ourselves. Way too many times. Not only has our britches got too big, our shoes has got too big. Hey, We can't do nothing around this church without the Lord. He said, you're going to learn to rely on me. It's amazing. I've been over Brother Felton's house, seen his little old boy's barefooted towel across the yard, across the driveway. Man, I'm sitting there crow hopping, about crippled. Can't even hardly walk back to the truck, amen. Reminds me of some of you women wear them high heels that would cripple a camel. Somebody say amen right there. And you know they don't feel good, but they look good. And so you'll be crippled. But boy, I'm getting to my last thought now. I'm going to tell you, when he pulled his shoes off, it had to do with respect and it had to do with reliance. But ladies, let me give you this thought tonight as a country preacher. And men, when you get home and you've been working all day and you kick your shoes off, you say, what is this? It represents rest. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad I can rest in a sovereign God that can do anything tonight. Hallelujah. Just rest. Take your shoes off. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you'd gather around this altar tonight and spiritually take your shoes off and say, God, you've asked me to do some big things and I can't do it by myself, so do it for me and I'm going to rest in how big you are. Boy, ain't it a blessing to rest. I love these shoes. Don't they look good? Them things are classy. That's FootJoy golf shoes. I preach in them. They wonder, and they're pretty comfortable. But I've been in them now about 2 hours, and it sure does feel good for me to take them off. You ever got home and shoes been hurting you, and the first thing you done, you didn't go to the refrigerator, honey. You went to the closet. Put your shoe. Renee said, why are you going to wear them shoes? Because they wear so good. Oh, wouldn't it be a blessing if we could realize, God, you're in control and you can do anything. He asked Moses to do some big things. He said, I want you to go down to Pharaoh and tell him. Your stepdaddy, tell him. You leading the people out of bondage. Boy, that's a big job. You know, God's asked us to do some big things. You know what He's asked us to do? He's asked us to be a Christian. That's a pretty good responsibility. He's asked us to be a light in this world. How do you do it? You can't do it. You got to allow Him to do it. Some of y'all worrying about your children. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. I worry about my children. Now, I'll be honest with you. I worry about my grandbabies more than my children. Brother Jake said something tonight in prayer room. There's a 4-year-old was burned up yesterday, up 113 in Carrollton. Can you imagine them mom and daddies and grandparents tonight? Lost that little 4-year-old. I got up this morning, looked on my computer, and there was my little grandboy turned 4-year-old today. I got to thinking, oh, God, what a blessing. Lord, how you bless me. And God, I just, sometimes I'm overwhelmed by these responsibilities. He says, take your shoes off and rest, rest, rest. Put your confidence in me and rely upon somebody that can do anything. No sense in worrying ourselves crazy till we go to the grave. Here it comes. No sense in worrying our nerves till they're frazzled. I come to tell you tonight, there's a God that'll let you rest. There's a God that if you'll snuggle up to Him, not only does He know your name, but He can give you rest. Rest with your worries. I wonder, last night I was preaching on how the devil loves to mess with our mind. There was a war veteran there, before I got done preaching, I was preaching this thought on resting. He come up through the tabernacle into the altar. And many people followed and began to realize this thought of how you could rest in the presence of God and the power of God, how there's rest. The pastor told me after service, he said, "Preacher," he said, "that man that moved to the altar tonight, said, you wouldn't believe how many times that he's called me battling his mind. Isn't it a blessing to know there's a God that you can let your mind rest tonight?" Some of you need to gather around this altar. Say, "God, I can't worship no more because of my worry. I can't worship because of me. But I'm coming to rely upon your power. I need to rest tonight." You ought to rest your mind. You say, "Well, Lord," you say, "Preacher, you don't understand the call we've got." We've got a few of them. Matter of fact, we've got a few I hope you never experience. But if you do get it, I want to tell you something. There's rest at Calvary. I'm glad you can bring your sin to God and find rest. I don't care what you've done nor how long you've been doing it. It's a God in heaven that'll give you rest of your sin tonight. He loves you. Don't die and go to hell in your sin. Don't die and go to hell without Jesus. Don't go to hell riding the church pew in Liberty Baptist Church. Come to Christ and rest. Boy, how the devil has our mind going every place. But there's rest tonight. Does anybody need rest? And I want to open this altar. And I'd ask you, would you just get real with the Lord? Come and say, "God, I need to rest. God, I need to rely upon you. God, I need you to lead me. I can't do this by myself. But there's a God that can. There's a God that will." You ought to slip them shoes off in your heart tonight and say, "Oh God, oh God, I need rest in my spirit, in my soul. God, I got to rely upon you. Help us to rest. Help us to respect you. Help us to rely upon you, Lord. Dear Lord, we can do nothing by ourselves. Lord, I need you in my life. I need you in this church, Lord. I can't do this by myself. Help me, God. Help our church, I pray. Help these people that's come tonight. Oh, Lord, help, I pray."